This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump blasts Bannon. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, January 4, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump cutting ties with Steve Bannon, his former campaign chief, after Bannon's unflattering quotes about the Trump family in a new book.
Uncomfortable weather conditions along the East Coast as a winter storm marries up with a deep freeze, 7 inches of snow in Sumter, South Carolina.
A flaw has been discovered in the design of Intel chips found in millions of computers, meaning the likes of Microsoft and Apple will have to update operating systems.
And what we can expect from the price of gas in 2018.
I think it will be more expensive, but I think it'll also be cheaper. And this will be the year of head fakes. We're starting out the year with very high crude oil prices, the highest since July 2015. But we think the second half of the year is going to look quite different.
Tom Kloza at Oil Price Information Service on where gas prices are headed this year. President Trump is publicly distancing himself from Steve Bannon, his former senior strategist and one-time campaign chief. The reason? A new book in which Mr. Bannon made personal criticisms of some of the president's top advisors, including family members. In the book, Mr. Bannon called a June 2016 meeting between top Trump campaign aides and a Russian lawyer, quote, treasonous and unpatriotic. The meeting has become a focus of special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Moscow's meddling in the 2016 election. Book reaction from White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
The book has a lot of things so far of what we've seen that are completely untrue. You have many people that have quotes that are sourced to them that are now coming out publicly and saying that those things are not true.
In a statement to reporters, Mr. Trump said, quote, Steve Bannon has nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. The book by Michael Wolff is called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. In it, Mr. Bannon sharply criticizes the president's adult children, even describing Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter, and a White House advisor as, quote, dumb as a brick. Paul Manafort, the former chairman of the Trump campaign, has filed a lawsuit alleging that special counsel Robert Mueller had exceeded his authority in indicting Mr. Manafort on money laundering and tax-related charges. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The lawsuit filed yesterday asks a federal judge to throw out the order issued by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein that appointed Mr. Mueller to investigate any Russian meddling in the election. It also seeks to dismiss the indictment against Mr. Manafort and requests an order barring Mr. Mueller from pursuing similar investigations. A Justice Department spokeswoman called the suit frivolous. Mr. Manafort and a longtime business associate were indicted in October. That indictment did not touch on the Trump campaign. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The Wall Street Journal says the lawsuit is unusually aggressive, questioning Mr. Mueller's right to conduct a wide-ranging investigation. Some legal analysts said the lawsuit faces an uphill battle since judges often defer to the Justice Department. A rare type of winter storm is hitting the southeast. For example, Tallahassee, Florida got snow for the first time in 3 decades, while New England is prepping for what's being called a bombogenesis, also known as a bomb cyclone. That's when a storm's barometric pressure drops sharply in 24 hours, greatly strengthening the storm. The governors of Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and Virginia declared states of emergency yesterday. The National Weather Service had blizzard warnings in effect from Virginia to Maine. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh.
So it's important for us that we get the snow off of the ground as best we can tomorrow, because once the freeze comes in, it will be almost impossible to move the ice that will be formed.
Much of the eastern U.S. is in a sustained cold spell that has frozen parts of Niagara Falls, caused frozen pipes, burst water mains, and hampered firefighting. in places where temperatures barely broke 20 degrees. The cold has been blamed for at least 9 deaths over the past few days. An Arctic air mass will remain entrenched over the eastern two-thirds of the country through the end of the week. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Do you have a 401k? Remember how frustrating it was deciding what to invest in without professional help? Now there's a better way to grow your 401k. Bloom, with three O's, is a simple, smart, and affordable way to grow your 401k. Go online to bloom401k.com/deal and simply connect your existing 401k in a few easy steps. Then sit back and relax while Bloom performs an unbiased analysis of the funds in your account and chooses the best mix to meet your goals while minimizing hidden investment fees. Bloom researches, invests, manages, monitors, and grows your 401k while you relax. With Bloom's free analysis, you can see the impact they can make on your 401k before you even pay. Bloom is one of the fastest-growing robo-advisors. Bloom is so simple. In fact, the hardest part about this is remembering there are three O's in Bloom. Go to bloom401k.com/deal and enter the promo code Gordon for your first month free and see the difference Bloom can make in your retirement. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Thursday. The January battle to keep the government open is the fight Democrats have been itching for. On three occasions in recent months, Democrats punted on some of their top priorities as the GOP passed short-term funding bills, a strategy that outraged liberals eager for confrontation on issues like immigration and health care. It's a story from Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. Mike, explain.
The scenario is the government shuts down on January 19th if Congress doesn't get its act together and come up with a spending deal they've had since last September to do so when they were supposed to pass this thing. Instead, they passed three short-term, kind of kick the can down the road, temporary spending bills just to prevent a shutdown. Now the rubber meets the road, and they're trying to do something longer term to get us through the remainder of the fiscal year, meaning September. And just to show you how much work they've got left to do, they haven't even come up with a top-line number that will govern the spending debate beneath it. That, you know, there are these sequestration cuts that are across the board, been in place since 2011, and nobody likes them, either on the defense side, especially the Republicans, or on the domestic side, which is what the Democrats are going to be pushing for. And then they're going to have an awful lot of fights, to fill out everything below that. But they've only got, less than 3 weeks to go, so a lot of pressure on both sides to get this thing done.
What did you hear about things the Democrats are really going to press for?
Right. A lot of pressure on them because they have not, they haven't really held the line on some of their top priorities in the three previous CR fights. A lot of pressure from activists to do so. They said this is going to be a fight we're going to take to the omnibus bill, the larger package, which is happening right now. So Nancy Pelosi sent a letter, again, facing a lot of pressure both inside and outside of her own caucus, and she said, these are the things that we're going to fight for, and among them are parity between defense and non-defense spending, meaning any increase in spending for the Pentagon has to be matched dollar for dollar in domestic programs, a big priority for the Democrats for many years. DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, that was the Obama-era program that Trump dismantled in September. He gave Congress 6 months to find a fix, and the Democrats think they'll have the best leverage to do so on this big spending bill. Ryan and Trump and a lot of Republicans don't want to do it on the spending bill, so that's another huge topic of contention, and nobody really knows how that's going to end. Pelosi's also pushing for veterans health care, children's health care, the CHIP program, disaster aid for the hurricanes and the wildfires in California, NIH funding, pension funding. So there's quite a list of things that the Democrats are pushing for, and the question is how many of them are they going to be able to get in there and still get a bill to the president's desk and prevent a shutdown. So, again, pressure on the Democratic side from activists, pressure on the Republican side not to shut the government down. They're fresh from this big tax victory. They've got some momentum, and they don't want to dilute that heading into this election year. Trump's got the State of the Union coming up. He doesn't want to have to address the country and say, we just shut the government down. It's a high-stakes fight.
We're speaking with Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. He's written a piece entitled, Itching for a Fight, Dems Vow to Hold the Line. Any deal breakers here for either party, or does this stuff seem all negotiable in some way, shape, or form?
Well, a lot of the things on that list are bipartisan. You know, the veterans health care, the CHIP program, the disaster aid. Those are the types of things that the parties can get behind as long as they can agree on funding. They did fund the CHIP program, for example, in this last CR in December, but it was the pay for that the Democrats said that it was funding children's health care by stealing from children's health care. So if the Republicans want to get the Democrats on board this time around, they're going to have to find another offset elsewhere in the budget. So it's those types of fights that they're going to have over the items that they agree on. Then there are items they don't agree on, and that's parity between defense and non-defense. That's going to be a big fight because the Republicans want to bump up the Pentagon spending at rates higher than the other domestic programs. And then really the big one is immigration.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Putin, President Trump has launched a scathing attack on former top advisor Steve Bannon, responding to a new book that portrays Trump as an undisciplined man-child who didn't actually want to win the White House. In quotes, Bannon is calling Donald Trump Jr.'s contact with a Russian lawyer treasonous. Hitting back via a formal White House statement, Trump insisted Bannon had little to do with his victorious campaign, that he had lost his mind. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders also weighed in.
The book has a lot of things so far of what we've seen that are completely untrue. You have many people that have quotes that are sourced to them that are now coming out publicly and saying that those things are not true.
Trump's lawyers have written to Bannon saying he has violated a non-disclosure agreement. Residents across a huge portion of the U.S. are hunkered down as a massive winter storm packing snow, ice, and high winds, followed by possible record-breaking cold, moves up the eastern seaboard. The massive storm has prompted thousands of canceled flights, shuttered schools and businesses, and sparked fears of coastal flooding and power outages. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
The good news is that the storm is moving quickly and should be gone by Thursday evening. The bad news is that we will have unusually cold temperatures sticking around for several days.
The number of deaths linked to the relentless cold nationwide has risen to at least 16. President Trump's former campaign chairman has sued special counsel Robert Mueller and the Justice Department, saying prosecutors had overstepped their bounds by charging him for conduct he says is unrelated to Russian interference in the presidential election. The lawsuit by Paul Manafort is the most direct challenge to date to Mueller's legal authority. The president's controversial voter fraud commission has been disbanded. President Trump says he dissolved the commission because many states had refused to provide any information, and he has asked the Department of Homeland Security to determine the next courses of action. At least some people are happy about the freezing weather, TV executives and advertisers. ABC's New Year's Rockin' Eve had its biggest audience since 1991. As viewers stayed in to keep warm, Fox and CNN New Year's coverage from Times Square also set new viewership records.
Is that right? Just because we didn't want to go out?
Who wants to go out when it's five?
What's wrong with us? I mean, is this considered good enough programming that we were watching it?
No, that's a whole other issue. But who in the world wants to go to Times Square? Would you want to do that?
No.
No, me either. Ugh.
True. And there's no New Yorkers who go. It's all foreigners. Yeah. I've covered that on a couple occasions in my previous life.
You can't find
anybody from that area. 23 minutes after the hour. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices on everything your business needs to clear the clutter this year, like banker's boxes, file folders, and storage bins. Less mess equals more success. Visit staples.com for more. Staples, it's pro time. The practice of making coffee by the cup, known as a pour-over, has been an essential skill for gourmet baristas for nearly a decade. The slow personal nature of this ritual is an icon of the artisanal movement. Now, uttering words like efficiency and consistency, some coffee shops are embracing the perks of machines. Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Jargon spotted the trend. Julie, what have you found?
What I found was a little bit surprising and a bit ironic. Some of the artisan craft kind of coffee shops that have sprung up over the recent years and have been specializing in the handmade pour-over coffee, kind of this coffee poured by the cup, basically, are going back to coffee that is brewed in large batches, like big batch brewers, the type that you see at gas stations, the kind of the big coffee urns that you see sitting out. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it for a variety of reasons, including the fact that these machines can make coffee more quickly, more efficiently, and serve more customers faster, because it takes a few minutes to do a handmade pour over, and if you've got a line of several people, it can keep people waiting a long time. So people in this fast-paced day and age apparently don't want to wait around so much anymore for their coffee to be made by hand. And so coffee shops are kind of waking up to that.
Tell me about these new machines then.
So there's a company in that out of Indiana, actually, that makes something called the Mod Bar, which is kind of a fancy machine where the baristas can program it to make a pour over the way they would make it by hand. They can turn all these different knobs and settings to select the brewing temperature and the rate at which the water pours through the filter. So they can press a button and then they can walk away and ring up another customer at the cashier or get a pastry or chat with customers and then come back to the machine when it's done making the pour over.
Wow. I get the sense that baristas are sort of shaking their heads in disapproval that no machine can replicate what they do.
There certainly are some that are a bit worried about this and whether automation is going to one day replace them. You know, some that I've talked to are actually in favor of it because they feel like it allows them to concentrate on other things like educating consumers about coffee.
Oh.
And that they don't have to be hunched over pouring over a cup of coffee for 5 minutes at a time and potentially getting things wrong, because apparently there's a lot of variation from one pour to the next, from one barista to the next, and sometimes there have been complaints about the quality of the pour-over not always being the same. So in some ways it's a little bit liberating, in some ways I think it's a bit worrying to baristas.
Thanks, Julie. Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Jargon. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, January 4. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump slams Bannon for comments about his family in a new book. Big winter storm gives the Southeast some rare snow. Now settles on the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. A design flaw revealed in Intel and other chips. Patches are being sent for fixes. No Powerball jackpot winner last night. Now a half a billion for Saturday's drawing. And how nudists are coping with the extreme cold. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. A new study from GasBuddy.com finds that gasoline prices are expected to creep higher for the second consecutive year, costing drivers billions of dollars in higher fuel costs. But even though prices will rise, the research says we'll still be paying less than we did earlier this decade. Analysis from Tom Kloza, Global Head of Energy Analysis at Oil Price Information Service. Tom, your expectations?
Well, I think it will be more expensive, but I think it'll also be cheaper. And this will be the year of head fakes. We're starting out the year with very high crude oil prices, the highest since July 2015, and with pretty high gasoline prices, you know, considerably higher than what we paid a year ago. We think there'll be an explosive move higher in the spring, but we think the second half of the year is going to look quite different and more like previous years where the price drops considerably in the last 100 days of 2018.
And why? Why would that happen?
Well, it's you know, first of all, we think crude oil is probably a little bit overpumped right now. There were some problems at the end of 2017 that drove crude oil to these 30-month highs, and they shouldn't persist. The fact of the matter is that U.S. production of crude is going to surpass 10 million barrels a day and break the record established in November 1970 when James Taylor's Fire and Rain was number one on the charts. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a lot of oil. We're going to be maybe the swing producer within the world. And people get excited about gasoline in the spring, and there'll be reason to get excited as some refiners have maintenance. But by the time we get to driving season and the fall, we think there'll be plenty of supply, and demand will be flat with last year.
All right, so with the U.S. economy seemingly humming along right now, what does that mean for gas?
Well, that means
gas
that
prices?
You know, this is about as good as it gets in terms of consumption. You know, we're not sure whether or not the final 2017 numbers for gasoline consumption will break the record established in 2017, but there's not going to be a whole lot more driving going on. I mean, young kids aren't getting licenses, and cars are getting more efficient, even if people are trading in their F-150s for a new F-150. And we are producing much more gasoline than we ever have. The game changer, to a certain extent, is we've become the supplier. The U.S. Gulf Coast has become the supplier of Central and South America. So on the year, we think the average price, which is as relevant as the average temperature in a year, is going to be about $2.45 a gallon. We think the prices may get up to $2.75 or $2.85 on a national basis. But we also see a period at the end of the year where a lot of places will pay less than $2 a gallon. So that's a complicated forecast, but on balance, a few pennies more expensive than last year, higher highs, and some lower lows.
We're speaking with Tom Kloza, Global Head of Energy Analysis at Oil Price Information Service, and we're talking about oil and gas prices for 2018. So you mentioned some of those average highs and lows. Who's going to see the highest at certain points? Typical suspects like California?
Absolutely. California, Alaska, Hawaii, they'll see the highest numbers. And California will probably take off to like 350 or 375. You know, they charge about 90 cents in terms of additional fees, local, federal taxes, and, you know, they have some carbon fees that are almost like cap and trade. So they'll have the highest numbers. You know, here's the one thing I find interesting when I crunch the numbers and I look at a 2018 forecast. What we pay for gasoline as a country between 2015 and 2018, four years, is going to be about a half trillion less than what we paid from 2011 through 2014. Imagine that, a half a trillion dollars less for American motorists to hit the road in this four-year period where we're 3 years in, and the previous four-year period where we had $100 oil. So that makes some of the numbers you hear about deficits and so forth a little bit less daunting. Half a trillion dollars is a lot of money. It's hard to get your arms around it.
So you mentioned kind of the higher prices earlier in the year, last 100 days or so, less expensive prices. Are we into some sort of I hate to use the word predictable pattern for oil?
I wouldn't say it's predictable, and of course that prediction for the second half of the year relies on no hurricane landfalls. Along the Texas Gulf Coast or the Louisiana Gulf Coast.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Kloza, Global Head of Energy Analysis at Oil Price Information Service. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, or Friday Eve, as we say around these parts. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, many travelers would argue that the worst part of any airline flight comes after you've landed, as you're subjected to waiting endlessly for the plane to make it to the gate, then wait for the passengers in front of you to grab their carry-on luggage and finally get out of your way so you can exit. So you might, for a moment, sympathize with a man who was arrested this week after leaving a plane delayed on the tarmac at a Spanish airport via the emergency exit and climbing out onto the wing. A witness that filmed the man's unauthorized exit said that the Ryanair flight had left London an hour late, and passengers were then held on the plane for another 30 minutes after landing in Malaga without explanation from the airline. The man reportedly, very calmly, asked permission to get past, opened the emergency exit, looked out, saw the wing, went back for his backpack, and then took the leap.
Jeez.
The man was coaxed back onto the plane while police were called, then he was arrested. Police say they have opened a complaint against the man for breaching security.
Mm. You know, I think the most important piece about your story there is that the plane landed and then for 30 minutes without explanation.
That is the worst part, isn't it?
The non-communication by personnel, whether it's flight attendants or pilots on planes sometimes just complicates things and exacerbates things to no end. Right? What a simple message like, hey, we're waiting for a gate. I'll give you an update in 5 minutes.
Right.
Still no gate. We apologize. There are, I don't know, six planes in front of us or something like that. Meanwhile, please enjoy a drink, you know, on us. You want water or something?
Yeah.
You know, give a shout. Press the button or something like that.
It's amazing how quickly things get tense after the plane lands. You can just see the look on everybody's face. Everybody's just so itching to get out of the plane,
people want to get home. They're late for a meeting. This plane was already late.
Right. Another flight they have to catch, a connecting flight or something. Yeah.
Is it possible this guy was just trying to avoid another Ryanair fee? Like maybe they have a fee now for exiting the plane. He was trying to avoid that.
That is very possible. I certainly wouldn't put it past
with
him.
Ryanair, you can't rule it out.
And you know, Gordon, it's that time of year again where we get so fed up with the cold, we're looking to blame someone, anyone, for why we have to dress in 17 layers every time we dare to leave the house. That's why a Louisiana police department has issued an arrest warrant for a Disney movie character in the hopes of putting an end to the deep freeze. In a Facebook post, the Slidell Police Department announced that they are seeking the arrest of Queen Elsa from the movie Frozen, adding that, as you can see by the weather, she is a very dangerous girl. Approach with caution. The post includes a wanted poster featuring Elsa's likeness and a cash reward for taking out the Ice Queen, dead or alive, at $100 million. And if it sounds familiar, it's not the first time law enforcement has sought the arrest of Elsa for the crime of making winter unbearable. The Harlan, Kentucky PD issued a similar warrant for Elsa's arrest 3 years ago, to no avail. Unfortunately, for all of us.
Slidell, I mean, you're not aware of what Harlan, Kentucky did 3 years ago.
you notice the theme, though. These are southern cities that are not used to this kind of deep freeze.
Yeah.
We're setting records all over the place
and
this winter.
I think they could have stopped at wanted.
Yeah.
The fact that they're talking about like $100 million for taking out the Ice Queen.
Yeah.
I can just see where that goes wrong. Don't you?
Yes, it could. Some people might take that a little too literally.
Agreed. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday. With the start of the new year, you may have taken a new job. But what if you're instantly miserable? The Wall Street Journal explored whether it's okay to ever quit your job on the first day. It says making a wise decision requires pausing for a moment. The key is to distinguish between challenges you should try to overcome and fundamental problems that are true deal breakers. Quitting abruptly risks earning bad references from former bosses and their contacts. It may also mean, of course, living without a paycheck for a while. Before resigning abruptly, new hires should ask themselves if they're giving the job a fair chance. New employees' behavior helps determine the amount of support they receive. And it isn't wise to exit just because you don't like the person next to you or have to do grunt work all day. And if the boss is abrasive, push back a bit. The Journal says one intern at a Wall Street financial services firm whose boss seemed unduly brusque asked him, quote, "Are you just having a bad day or are you always like this?" It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, brutal winter weather that's brought sub-zero temperatures to parts of the U.S. is dumping snow and ice across areas of the South that rarely see flurries, much less accumulation. Roads are icy and dangerous from Florida all the way up through New England. This last-minute shopper in Massachusetts was stressed out.
I feel anxiety. It's too much people. It's too crowded in here.
Now, last night, three cars on an Amtrak train carrying more than 300 people from Miami to New York derailed in snowy Savannah, but no injuries were reported. The White House and top congressional leaders from both parties have issued upbeat assessments after a Capitol Hill meeting in which they forged progress on a stack of unfinished Washington business, starting with a hoped-for bipartisan budget deal. The session came with a little more than 2 weeks before the next threatened government shutdown. Topping the agenda was an effort to spare both the Pentagon and domestic cabinet agencies from spending cuts. Other issues, including immigration, disaster aid, and health care, borrower also discussed in hopes of resolving a raft of leftover issues. No one won the Powerball jackpot worth $460 million, meaning lottery players will have another chance to strike it rich on Saturday. Meanwhile, the jackpot for the Mega Millions lottery has climbed to $418 million, the fourth largest in the game's history, after no tickets matched all six numbers during Tuesday's grand prize drawing. The man set to become the next Mormon church president is a 93-year-old former heart surgeon whose conservative track record has led Mormon scholars to predict he won't make any major changes. Russell Nelson is likely to be formally named to the post in the coming days. He follows Thomas Monson, who died Tuesday night at the age of 90. And scientists in Rome have unveiled the first bionic hand with a sense of touch that can be worn outside the laboratory. The recipient, who lost her left hand in an accident nearly a quarter of a century ago, says it's almost like it's back again. In 2014, the same international team produced the world's first feeling bionic hand, but the sensory and computer equipment that it was linked to was too large to leave and had to stay in the lab. Now the technology is small enough to fit in a small bag, making it portable.
Jeez. So it has, it's not only functional, now it has feeling?
Yep. It can work and you can feel.
That's incredible.
It is.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. With one of the longest and chilliest cold snaps in years taking hold across South Louisiana, everyone seems to be bundling up, even nudists. Story from the New Orleans Advocate, which spoke to Travis David, a guy who does maintenance work at the Indian Hills Nudist Park in Slidell across Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans. Mr. David was heavily clothed on Tuesday, responding to calls about broken pipes from the prolonged freezing temperatures in the roughly 50-acre park. Clothing is unusual for him, since he does everything from cleaning up to putting in light bulbs in the nude. But he did have to strip down to dive into a heated pond to fix a pipe recently. But Mr. David wasn't the only one who took it all off to take in the rare snowfall. Hilda Kramer, the park's owner, says when it was snowing last month, they had six people in the hot tub. But with the extreme cold this week, the 101-degree hot tub and the 91-degree pool have been empty. As Mr. David says, we may be nudists, but we ain't stupid. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Managing your 401k is hard. Bloom isn't. See what you could be doing to make your 401k better by getting a free analysis at bloom401k.com/deal. That's Bloom with three O's, 401k.com/deal.